Yesterday, we played a wonderful tape, a little video vignette from the CNN morning show, which hardly anyone watches, so I know you haven't heard it. The show was Kevin O'Leary, featured Kevin O'Leary, who's famous on Shark Tank, explaining why he was no longer locating companies in blue states. He said basically they're uninvestable. We have a very intriguing update to that clip on CNN. But before I tell you what the update is, let's roll again with what Kevin O'Leary was telling Poppy Harlow and Don Lemon and Caitlin Collins on yesterday's CNN or on the CNN morning show late last week.
I don't put companies here in New York anymore or in Massachusetts or in New Jersey or in California. Those states are uninvestable. The policy here is insane. The taxes are too high. We put them in Fargo, North Dakota, because 40% of the people work elsewhere, including Boston. So I was, you know, a bit of a debate with Elizabeth Warren about this, but I say, look, Senator, we've got to move the companies out of your state because you're not investable anymore. You're punishing people if they're successful. You overtax them. You hit them with a super tax. New Jersey, what a mess. New York, uninvestable.
Wait, why is New York uninvestable?
Try and do a project in New York. Try and build
a data. Yeah, I'm asking, Don's point, is it beyond the taxes?
Oh, the regulatory environment is punitive. I had a project in upstate New York behind the grid in Niagara Falls for electricity, a global data center we were building. Eventually, it got so bad with the politicians in the local region and the state policy, we moved it to Norway and all the jobs. Norway has it now. Thousands of jobs coming out of that. I mean, that's New York, uninvestable. Sorry, don't shoot the messenger, just telling you the way it is.
Okay. And you'll note the states he mentioned, New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, California, all deep blue states. Kind of like Washington. And it so happens that we have an update to the story that suggests that Kevin O'Leary probably won't be in any hurry to locate any businesses here in Washington State either. The largest silicon metal plant outside of China was not only going to be built here in the United States of America, it was going to be built here in Washington State. Not only built in Washington State, but built in Eastern Washington. So the whole issue about building a silicon smelter, you know, near a population center is a non-issue. It was going to be built on the banks of the Pendere River. And everything appeared to be okay. Pendere County, again, we're talking about northeast Washington. So picture Washington State. This is, you go to eastern Washington, then you keep going up north toward the Canadian border. Newport is a charming town. But they could use the jobs. Okay, the high-tech boom that came to Washington has not really hit eastern Washington, except when it comes to the price of homes, because a lot of wealthy techies and others in western Washington now have weekend places or they work from home in eastern Washington. So the price of housing has gone up a whole lot. That aside, this smelter was a $150 million project. It would have employed 140 people, which, again, in a town like Newport, would have gotten noticed, would have mattered. They pulled the project and they've relocated it to not the banks of the Pendere River, but the banks of the Mississippi River in Tennessee. The major obstacle? Excessive regulation, entanglements, permit delays, and regulatory obstacles. According to a spokesman for the project, the number one obstacle was Washington not being able to, the officials in Pontre County not being able to get the property rezoned for industrial use after promising that it could be done. In Tennessee, they said, what can we do to make this happen? In Pontre County, they said, well, we need to update our comprehensive plan. For some reason, it took forever to do that. And as a consequence, again, the smelter went away. Quote, when we bought the land south of Newport from the Pontre Public Utility District, it was earmarked by the Public Utility District for a gas turbine, so we thought it would be fine for us. But Greg Snow, that again, that's a spokesman for the silicon metal project, metal plant. But Greg Snow, who's the community development director for Pontre County, said, well, the comp plan took a long time and there was a lot of work to do by a consultant that we hired in the planning commission. And that, you know, without that conditional use application process, we're not going to be able to get this done in time. And they didn't. And so the company said, you know what? We're gone. We're out of here. Washington is famous for this. Here's the biggest difference between government and business. The biggest difference between government and business is that to a government, time is not money. So you'll notice that it often takes longer to build a road, not just a new road in a new place, but just expanding an existing road. It takes longer to do that than it did 50 or 60 years ago, despite all of the advances that we've made in technology. It took less time to build a road in a new location or build a bridge in a new location than it takes to add a lane or two to an existing highway. It shouldn't. But over the years, layer after layer after layer of bureaucracy and process at all levels of government, local, federal, state, county, have made it a real burden that has kept a lot of small businesses out of entire industries. Let me give you one quick example. The 520 floating bridge. The 520 floating bridge was constructed originally back in 1963. I forget what the actual price for it was, but I do know this. They started with a 25-cent toll, then they lowered it to 15 cents, and they had paid for the bridge by 1979. So it took 16 years worth of tolls, and then the bridge was paid for. And the tolls came off. The toll booths went away. The current expansion of 520, again, not the not building the bridge itself, just expanding 520, costs about $5 billion. The toll on it averages closer to $3, sometimes as much as $5 or $6. The tolls will never come off because they will only account for a portion of what it will cost to build out the 520 bridge. The 520 floating bridge expansion costs more than 40 times what it costs to build it in the first place. Not twice as much, not three times as much, not 10 times as much. It costs 40 times more to expand the 520 floating bridge than it cost to build it. This is just a perfect example of how out of control costs and process and regulation and delays are in building anything of significance. And like I said, when it comes to private builders trying to put up, you know, silicon metal plant, the largest outside of China here in the United States, here in Washington State, eventually, even in Eastern Washington, rural Eastern Washington, the regulatory environment was so suffocating that the company said, you know what, forget it. We'll just do this in Tennessee.